These last several weeks have been so weird for me. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but I have not given announcements or given the congregational prayer, and man, it's been probably about 2 months, and if anyone told me that our elders were so good at it, I think I would have asked them to do this years ago, because then Mike would get more practice. But I just think it's great in general to have more people involved doing more things, and please keep this up. We need a lot of people to get involved with a lot of things, but part of the reason for this is that, as I think probably all of you know, after about 10 years of serving here, I've taken a call to pastor another church, not terribly close to here, and man, transition is so hard. It is challenging, difficult. Personally, it's just really sad and emotional for me just to even think about being a little bit further away from you all. We love Goshen Church. It's been really great. And some of you have been wondering how much will change once I'm away. And to be honest, I don't expect a whole lot to change at all. Our elders with Adam do all the planning for our services. To be honest, I show up and read the bulletin just like you do. So I don't expect that to change much. Brittany, our office administrator, runs a website, events, a bulletin, all that stuff. And I shouldn't even say this, but usually I just read the announcement like you do. And when I'm up here, I talk about what you all are doing. And I got a lot to talk about. You all do a lot. Our elders, deacons, ministry leaders, Bible study leaders, women, men, young adults. I'll say this too. I'm really excited for the future too, with so many of you stepping up and taking more ownership. I'm excited about the new things you'll do, about the things that you'll get involved in. I am really convinced that the next season in this church can be really healthy and growing, because what's going to happen is more of you will have more opportunities to do more things, to show God's love to people. By the way, I think Mike is trying to recruit more people to give announcements. Grab him if you want to do this. Chris, I think you're off now, so you can come on up. And as far as I know, this is under negotiation still, but I think I'm taking Jude with me, so we're going to need some more greeters in the back. But let me just give you a little bit of an idea of what's going to happen. For the next several weeks, for the month of June, I'll be preaching a sermon series. And then for the first half of July, I'm going to sit there and catch up on all my visits and some extra projects. And what I expect to happen next is what's been going on for the last 90 years. Church is more than the pastor, it's more in the building. My great expectation is that you all, God's people, will continue to lead, get involved to serve, and continue to show God's love to people in a way that does nothing short of changing the world. Now, for my last sermon series, I can't believe I'm saying that. What I want to do is I want to ask and answer a really, really pressing question. And here's the question. When it comes to church, what does Jesus look for? What does Jesus care about in this thing God calls church? As we gather, as we worship, as we serve. I mean, there are so many things that I look for, that you look for, but what does Jesus care about? This is a giant question, right? Especially as you start to approach a season of wondering, looking for a pastor. I mean, this is about God. God is bigger than we are, and if the church is God's people assembled, what's really, really important isn't what I want, it's not what you want. What really matters is what Jesus cares about. That sounds so simple, right? But it's not, because in America, we've become consumeristic. We all have got really strong opinions about what we think matters. And unfortunately, what I want, what you want, isn't always the same thing as what God looks for. What should a church look like? I mean, ask 7 people and you'll get 10 different opinions. What does Jesus care about? This is a big deal, right? If you're visiting with us this morning, you may be asking this question already because you're looking for the kind of church you want to land at, right? That's what a lot of church visitors do. Or if you're a church member, right, or a regular attender, you're asking, how do I know what our church should focus on? What should I get involved in? And whatever that answer is, you probably know it should be bigger than what you're thinking about, right? And I imagine a search committee, which is starting up. Talk to Henry or John if you want to get involved in this. But they're going to have rich discussion as they look at candidates and as they figure out how to talk about what kind of church Goshen is and where God's leading us. I mean, here's the thing. Everybody in this room and most people outside this room have strong opinions about what churches should be like. Even people who don't go to church think, have opinions about what churches should be like. But what if, imagine this, what if instead of listening to our own preferences, or instead of listening to people around us, can you imagine if you had the chance to hear what Jesus looks for in his church? I mean, can you picture it if you could eavesdrop on Jesus secretly attending services, taking notes, or even better, following church members home and taking notes on how you act on weekdays and in normal times? And imagine Jesus examined a church and came back and says, here's what I'm looking for. Here's what you guys are doing great at. Here's what's terrible. Here's what you've got to work on. Can you imagine if Jesus did that? I mean, if he did, we would finally have an idea of what is so important to the one whose opinion really counts. And if Jesus looked at churches like this one, what would he talk about? Would he talk about music? Would he talk about the clothes people wear? Would he talk about how friendly people are? What is it that Jesus cares about in a church? And here's what I just love about the Bible, right? Sometime around, it was about 50 years after Jesus rose from the dead, 50 years after he was reigning as Lord from the heaven, he did just that. And through a vision, he sent in 7 letters to local churches. And when you read other people's mail, but we're going to do that, we're able to see what Jesus really looks for. And for the next several weeks, we're going to eavesdrop. I love these. I've looked at these before, but we're going to open up another church's mail, and we're going to discover by reading the words of Jesus what most people never get around to think about. We're going to discover what Jesus looks for in his church. We're going to see what Jesus loves and what Jesus hates about people like us gathered in worship. And one of the reasons I want to do this is my hope is that as we hear the words of Christ, my hope is that it clarifies our mission and helps us to focus on what's really important. And you'll find all these letters in the book of Revelation. We're going to start off in Revelation 2, a letter to the church of Ephesus. By the way, an amazing city. You can visit Ephesus today. It's modern Turkey. If you were to walk around this city, you'd be impressed. You might be overwhelmed at first by the size and scale of this amazing city. If you go there, if you do this today, you can walk by buildings that were around when Jesus and St. Paul were walking on earth. The amphitheater would take your breath away. There's shops, there's houses. You can start to get a picture of what life was like 2,000 years ago. Buildings still stand. There's a famous gladiators graveyard, which gives you an idea of how people spent their spare time. There's the Temple of Artemis, which is a Greek name for the Roman god Diana. It was one of the wonders of the ancient world. Ephesus was a thriving metropolis, one of the most important cities in Western Turkey. And by the way, the church there was amazing. By the early 2nd century, Christian writers were talking about the great Ephesus church as an amazing example of what Christian life looked like in a dark community. And that's where Jesus starts talking about, the church of Ephesus. Makes sense in terms of size, geography, all that. Jesus looks at the church of Ephesus. Now, what is Jesus looking for here? Let's just read. This is verse 1 of chapter 2. I'll read verse 2. Church of Ephesus, I know your deeds, your hard works, and your perseverance. This is a thumbs up. The Greek word here for hard work means hard work. Here's a church where people are working to the point of exhaustion, but people are getting stuff done. I imagine a nursery with lots of people helping, shut-ins getting visited, lots of great ministry taking place. The Church of Ephesus is a church in the middle of pagan darkness, awful politics, and they were busy, hard at work, telling their neighbors about Jesus, caring for people in need, which tells me, by the way, some obvious things. What is Jesus looking for in churches? Well, he's looking for churches that are working hard and persevering. And you don't have to imagine very much to see what a church like this would be like. We are Goshen Church, a church that works hard and we persevere. Like, I am always impressed by how big of an impact we have on our community. And in this church, perseverance, well, it's not easy. Jesus sees perseverance, which means things aren't always easy. Gilbert talked about hills, right? Sometimes it's not always smooth sailing. Sometimes there's storms. People get upset. People get sick. Doing hard work is hard. Jesus isn't done. Here's some more really great things. I know, Jesus said, you cannot tolerate wicked people. Here's a church that cares about scripture and holiness and morality. I'll keep reading. They have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and found them to be false. And here's a church that never forgets what Paul taught in Acts 20, where Paul says, be on guard for yourselves and all the flock against, I think Paul says, savage wolves trying to ravage the flock. So here's a church that is carefully testing and evaluating, teaching, preaching ideas, comparing everything that people say to what God says to see what's godly and what's not. I mean, Jesus seems to really care about that, and he's not done. You have persevered. You have endured hardships for my name. And being a church is hard. And you have not grown weary. You've not given up. It has been a church that's probably about 40 years old. It's been 40 years since Paul came to Ephesus. And they kept going, working hard, pursuing holiness. They kept on going. And Jesus declares they did this all for the best motives. See why they endured hardship? For my name's sake. In other words, they were targeting God's glory. And they kept going at the work that God had gifted, equipped them, and called them to do. Jesus is talking about an amazing church here. Oh, one more good thing. Verse 6, but you hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. We'll talk more about them in a bit. I'll just say, we really don't know who these folks were. There's a bunch of theories. The church fathers link the Nicolaitans to Nicholas, one of the seven first deacons in Acts 6, which doesn't really help us know what that means at all. Other people say that this guy was a false teacher who rebelled and took people with him. Some scholars think the Nicolaitans is a symbolic. It symbolizes some sort of teaching. To be honest, we don't really know, except from the context, this was a draw toward immorality, compromise, and wickedness. And Jesus says, in your favor, Church of Ephesus, you have no tolerance for any of that nonsense. I mean, so far, we've learned an awful lot about what Jesus looks for in a church. When Jesus visits a church, what does Jesus care about? Well, he seems to care about church work hard. So I imagine programs that are staffed by people who really care. Churches who are doing evangelism, discipleship, missions, helping people. Jesus seems to care about persevering. So not just starting strong, but keep on going even when it's hard. Jesus seems to care about, well, accurate Bible teaching. That people are so careful that the gospel is being proclaimed, that false teaching is not being taught. And Jesus seems to care about holiness, that godly churches don't compromise morally or doctrinally, or they don't have a tolerance for sinful actions. I mean, this seems really clear. This is the kind of church Jesus cares about, which is a big deal, right? And I'll say this because it's a big deal, because these aren't normally the list of things that people like us make. But I'll say, if you're looking for a church, find a church like that one. If you're a member here and you get to make decisions or influence here, like influence in those directions. This is so different from what we talk about. Like, Jesus could have talked about pews versus chairs, light versus dark, congregation versus elder-led. He could have talked about big church, small church. He could have talked traditional versus contemporary. He could have talked baptizing babies versus dedications. He could have talked about friendly versus formal. I mean, those are all the things that most people look for in a church. But not a single one of those things makes Jesus' list. So far, it seems like Jesus really cares about good work of love, persistence, and holiness. And I would love to end this message by saying, be a church like that. Be the kind of church where Jesus says, I know your work, I've sat on services, I've talked to some of your leaders, be like that. And I wish I could say, just end the sermon here, let's pray, let's get some coffee, we got some cake in the back, but Jesus isn't done here. Because what he's about to say is that there's one more thing that is more important than any other things he mentioned so far. And it's not just what extra, I don't like where this goes next, but the thing that comes next is, well, it gives you a view of what Jesus seems to care about more than anything else. Jesus cares about what he says next more than he cares about hard work, more than he cares about holiness, more than he cares about good teaching. What does Jesus care about? Verse 4, yet I hold this against you. So despite all the really good stuff, here's what's really important. Here's what Jesus looks for. What Jesus says next is what he thinks is really, really important. You have forsaken, he says, the love you had at first. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. You know what Jesus really looks for in a church? This is what he really cares about. It's like he's going down this check mark of things. He goes, okay, good, good. Wait, what? They don't have that? And this isn't a, like, this is pretty good. Here's what you got to tweak sort of thing. This is a, whoa, this is hugely important. And what's so important? What is so important that this is a problem? I mean, you see it here, right? Here's a church that was looking right, doing right, working hard, but they forgot the love they had. If you want to know what that means, for Jesus to talk about the love the Ephesians had at first, you could look at, I don't know, the book of Ephesians. And when you go back to the book of Ephesians, you discover what they used to be like. Ephesians chapter 1, you could read it. Paul just can't stop thanking God because he hears about, well, you could read it, the love they had for all the saints. Or you could read Ephesians and find about how much they love God and love others. Or let me just read from chapter 3. Paul writes, I love this passage. I pray that you, being rooted and established in what? Tell me. Love, they have power along with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long, how high and deep is the love of God, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Here's a church that used to be saturated with God's love, whose faith was passionate and powerful, and that they had a glimpse of how much Jesus loved them. They got a glimpse of the depth and the width of God's love for them, and they started to overflow with love to others. That's how it used to be. And now, I mean, they're still there. They're still working hard. They're still doing all the stuff. They just lost their passion, which tells me something scary, that it's possible for a good church to look so good, but sink to a place where they keep on doing their duty, but they've lost their passion, their love for the Lord, and their love for others. It's possible for a church to become a religious routine without a white-hot, passionate love for God and people. And I think that Jesus is so upset about this, that he's ready to get rid of the whole church for this. Tells us what Jesus cares about maybe more than anything else that I would list, or even the things he begins listing. What does Jesus really care about when it comes to church? I think Jesus really cares about people of love. Love for God and love for people. And for a church, for a Christian. I mean, you see, this is not a letter to us, it's to the Ephesians. Going through the routine but not having love, it's like having cancer that's invisible. You may be dying inside even though you look fine. What do you do about this? What I love about this, that Jesus is, as a great physician, gives a remedy. The problem is simple. Here's a church that looks so good but is dying inside, that's doing all the right things but has lost its passion for Jesus. What do you do next? I'll be honest, I don't really like this chapter. It's important because it starts off as one of the beginning letters, so we've got to start here, but I don't like it because I think, if I'm really honest about it, I think you almost can't help, if you've been a Christian for more than a couple days, you almost can't help but think of moments in your life with Jesus, just yourself, where you've been more passionate for the gospel, when you've been higher spiritually. As a Christian, if you've been a Christian for a year, you can probably think of times when it's been easier to pray than now. I think a lot of us go through seasons where we feel a little bit stale. And what scares myself about this is that Jesus says that it's really, really important not just to do all the right stuff, but to have a love for God and people. And if you leave your passion for people and God behind, you are just wasting your time, is what this letter seems to say. And as challenging as this can be to me, what I love is that Jesus tells the church at Ephesus how to get it back. He tells you and he tells me some really simple steps to get back to where you used to be. Here's how you get back to a passionate faith. Here's what he says. First, remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, and do the works that you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Here's what Jesus asks churches and people to do. Here's what Jesus says as a prescription, step by step. If you're a Christian and you want to recapture the passion, love, and joy that you used to have in Jesus, here's what you do. First, keep remembering what it used to be like to be in love with Jesus. Forgetfulness is often the initial cause of spiritual decline. Remember how you felt when you first discovered God's great love to you and how being forgiven felt like? Remember that. And second, he repeats this a couple times, repent. So turn from your sin, whatever that looks like, to the Lord. In fact, even if the only sin you could think of is I don't love God like I used to do, that's a sin. Repent from that. To go, God, I have not loved you or neighbor as much as I should. Last step, you can see in the text, demonstrate the fruit of repentance by, see the line there? Do the works you did at first. Whether that's Bible study, prayer, serving, worship, loving neighbors, whatever that looks like, go back to what you used to do when you were really grateful for the Lord. And most of you probably know this story about Martin Luther nailing the 95 theses on the door at Wittenberg. Does anyone know offhand what the first number one thesis was that Martin Luther had? Maybe you don't. I'll tell you. It goes like this. When our Lord and Master said, repent, Martin Luther says, here's the big headline. Jesus desired the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. I'll say it again. Jesus desired the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. In other words, for Christians, your life looks like repentance. To constantly look up and see God's love, have gratitude, think about where we have failed and pledge to change. Those are the words, the spark that lit the fire of the Protestant Reformation. Here's what I think, and I'll make this really simple. This is what I think God's calling us to do. If you've lost your passionate faith, if you've lost your love for the Lord and others, repent. That's sinful. And so many other things just don't matter as much. It doesn't really matter what else you're doing for church if you've lost your love for the Lord. It doesn't matter if you have good theology. It doesn't matter if you're working hard. If you don't love God and don't love people, you have fallen short of what Jesus looks for. What does Jesus look for in churches? Well, Jesus cares that his people are characterized by having a passionate faith. That more than anything else, God's people love the Lord. And simply put, that's what we ought to pursue. And next week, we'll look at the next letter and see what the Lord says to, well, Smyrna, the next group, church on his list. But for now, I'm just going to pray and ask God to give us a passionate faith that sets us on fire for the love of God that changes the world. So God in heaven, I pray that you would convict us for all the times we failed to prioritize you, for all the sins in our life that are a result of us not really loving you or loving people as much as we should. Father, give us all the fruits of seeing your goodness. Give us joy, give us purpose, give us compassionate, give us creative hearts to follow you, give us persistence and grit. But God, don't give us any of that without a love for you. Help us to feel how much you've loved us. Help us to be passionate about our faith. Help us to love others in a way that makes our community, our family, our world a better place. Yes, all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.